Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to unlock the combination into your life's true potential.
Living Out Loud
with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness, and so much more.
You got a gift, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I know. Hold on.
Yes, you do.
Now, here's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum,
Living Out Loud.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Living Out Loud with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. My website is doctorfrieda, F-R-I-E-D-A, .com. And today, actually, we have two very interesting and exciting guests that we're really looking forward to interviewing. Do you want to tell us a little bit about them, Ryan?
Absolutely. Well, as we all know, Memorial Day is upon us. And as we honor America's brave men and women who've given so much, it is truly an honor to have with us on the program today, retired Colonel Robert Sholley. Mr. Sholley has served throughout many tours, and he's going to tell us today about why it's so important that America honor its fallen and live veterans. Mr. Sholley, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Ryan. I appreciate being on the show.
Hello, Mr. Sholley. Welcome. This is Dr. Frieda speaking, and we have so many questions to ask you, so I'd like to just get right into this. And tell us, you know, what is something that really, you have these stories that you have, and one thing you can share with us that stands out in your mind right now?
Well, today or tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it is a day with which to remember veterans, not necessarily just those who have passed and gone on, but those who have gone out and fought America's battles, and it doesn't make any difference whether they were in actual combat or whether they were in a support role or whatever. It takes everybody to make a team, and no matter what service it is, it all points towards one thing, and that's keeping America safe.
You know, that's so true. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, as far as one thing that that I think of on Memorial Day is, and some people think that they would like to have Memorial Day over because it hurts too much to remember. I think that's a cop-out. I think that people need to remember the young men and women that have gone on and fought for America's freedom and the whole business of democracy. And so I think it should be a respectful pleasure to remember all of these people who have worn the uniform and done their duty.
And this is something that we wish more people could hear about, because we are all in this together. And that's so true. So coming to today, what's going on in our country and this turbulence and these threats of war, what do you think our biggest concern is today? What should be our target area to be worried about, to work on, to make a difference with? Where would you go with this?
Well, I am not necessarily what they call a hawk. I'm not a dove either. I believe that sometimes the United States needs to stand firm and show its strength. But one of the things that bothers me is our policies of sequestration, which is something that the present government is forcing the United States agencies to go through, and that is taking a percentage across the board of reducing our America's military machine. And it would have been much better if they had just identified that, okay, we need to cut 20%, and you need to identify where that 20% comes from and let the military identify the priorities, instead of what they have right now of the 20% just cut across the board against all programs and policies. So I think that is a danger to the American people. We will overcome it, as we have in the past, But right now, that happens to be one of the things that I'm very concerned about.
I wish that we could really look into this more. We need more people like yourself to be able to give us the right direction. And so we're looking at situations now that are very fearful in our lives. So what would you say about the fact that that Congress no longer needs to vote to take the nation to war? What is your comment on that? What do you think about this?
Well, ever since Korea, the nation has gone in the direction of whatever the executive wants it to do. It kind of does that as far as foreign policies are concerned. It is still in the Constitution that only the Congress has the right to declare war. However, there are a lot of little firefights and things around the world that don't have time to go through the debate process. And while, yes, we need to have the Congress decide to take the nation to war in something as big as World War II, I think that no matter what, whether it's Democrat or Republican, that the fact that the executive branch does need to be able to have some latitude to create some way to affect the national policy.
Yes, that's something that we all really need to think about and to be able to know what direction to go into. But you know, there's this morale issue in the military that it seems to be at a low right now. And if that's true, why do you think that is the fact that this is going on?
You know, I don't believe that there's a morale issue. I think that that is something that the people who really don't know very much about it are saying there's a morale issue and that sort of baloney. The American fighting man and woman will always have a high morale. Now, the fact that people don't accept them when they come back from war, from Afghanistan, the same thing happened in Vietnam when the nation turned against its fighting men and spit upon them and called them baby killers and gave them no respect. Fortunately, we've turned the corner on that, and so therefore our veterans who are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and the different other places who are coming back, they're being supported by the U.S. Unfortunately, there's a great deal of work that needs to be done in your field. We're having 22 men a day commit suicide. And I think probably that the veterans who do come back need a lot more help than they're being given.
Absolutely. You know, post-traumatic stress, it lingers on forever, and they live with this often the rest of their lives with depression, anxiety, sleep disorders, and it really is a factor where their lives are often in danger, or even as we're talking about suicide. So you're absolutely right. We do need to step up to taking care of these soldiers, not only on Memorial Day with remembering and honoring them, but actually being more hands-on to making a difference in your life, in their lives, and I'm sure in your life as well. You've gone through a lot of traumatic experiences. So with that in mind, tell the audience, what are some of the insights that you did gain when you came back that would even give us some ideas about life in general that you experienced?
Well, I was very fortunate because I made the Army a career. And as I went on through my career, I was surrounded by people who had been there and done that and who had had like experiences. What happens in many cases, though, today, is young folks go into the military, they go off to war, and then they get out of the service and think that they can just begin a civilian life without any difficulties. And those are the people who are at risk, and those are the people we need to really identify and say, hey, here are some coping techniques that other people have used. One of the things that I use, I'm an active member of a veterans organization called ActiVets, and what we do is we take wounded veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq, and we take them on boat trips. down in Big Bend National Park, and we take them out for a week, and we have campfires at night, and there's nobody on these trips except veterans who have been there and done that. And we encourage them to talk about their troubles. And we've had some very, very good results in this, not just through one particular period of time, but when they go back, they recognize that, hey, they're not alone. And in some cases, we've had even families travel with us and help them cope on these traumatic experiences that some of them have undergone.
So are you telling us that we need to establish organizations that are there and ready for these young men who come back to help them to live their lives in our society as normal citizens? And this is a strong message you've been giving us that's so vital for everybody to know about. And I just want to quickly say one thing, because this went very fast. There's so much to talk about. But, you know, Mother's Day and Memorial Day have something in common. Did you know that?
Well, if it's mothers losing loved ones in conflict,
exactly,
yes.
There you go. There you go. You're yep. Very bright. And that's exactly what the origin of Mother's Day was, about losing young soldiers, their sons. And the sad thing is, now when we have Mother's Day, it's about having a mother where these women are again reminded that they lost their sons. So the reason it started is missing, and Memorial Day is remembering these young men. We also need to remember the parents, the mothers, the fathers that lost their children, that can't celebrate them, but we just need to be able to say, you know what? This is to honor the families as well, because when one person is affected, many people are affected. We'd love to have you on again. It's been our pleasure. You're a great guest. It just flew by, these 10 minutes and 1 minute, and our listeners will have gained a lot from my interview with you. Thank you so much. It's been a privilege to have you on our show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Frieda.
Thank you. My pleasure. Our next guest is on.
No, actually, she's not with us yet, Dr. Frieda.
And, oh, okay, sorry. So
talk with her.
I guess we'll have to talk to each other if we can take that.
Well, I couldn't imagine a harsher sentence. Only Alcatraz could possibly
really
be worse.
Horrible. There's so much going on.
Oh, my
well,
goodness.
You know what? You're the nicest person to talk to. What can I tell you? I enjoy speaking to you always. Just
well,
a pleasure.
Thank you.
So,
and people, when they talk to me, they say that they like talking to me because I cure their insomnia.
You do a lot.
I speak to them. They're like, you know what? I don't have to take that the Tylenol.
Well, listen to this voice. It's such a soothing voice to listen to. It's such a comforting, supportive voice that you have.
Thank you.
It really is. It's just always fun to listen to you talk.
Thank you. And the last, the gentleman you just spoke with, have you ever treated people in your practice that are experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder from conflicts?
Yes, and it's a very, very loaded question, because post-traumatic stress disorder comes from so many different areas, and I would have loved to continue to interview him more, and I didn't read it says keep going, because we still have some more time, but whatever. The thing is that this is something that you live with, that keeps going on even when you're doing something else. It's very difficult to treat. Medication for depression is often given. I do not support medication too much, because
what is it that you find
feel,
that
yes.
Well, Rooker, before you go into the medication, what is it that you've
right.
found when treating people in practice that have post-traumatic stress disorder? What are some of the qualities and characteristics that you're noticing about people who've gone to war? Like, what are some of the, what do you notice about PTSD? Like, is there a common type of post-traumatic stress disorder? Is there a post-traumatic stress disorder where you just don't have the capability of talking with people as much? I mean, what are the various degrees of post-traumatic stress disorder?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question we need to know about, that we can't sleep. This anxiety keeps coming back. The memories keep coming back, and we're fixated. And the worst part of it is if you keep it inside, it just keeps festering and lingering. So you have to find someone to talk to that's willing to listen, that's willing to be compassionate and understand. And also distracting yourself in your life is extremely important to have experiences other than that, to go into a different direction of joy and to fill yourself up so the memories are pushed away and you can continue to have new memories, replace them in your life. It's essential. Of course, if you can't find someone, a therapist could also offer that kind of intervention. But when you have activities, even volunteer work, where you can go ahead and give to someone else, that can fill the void up as well. So it's a matter of being more active-oriented and to be able to make a life for yourself that's different instead of just staying with the moment. And the sleep disorders that keep reoccurring, that's something else, again, that needs to be resolved by taking your thoughts and put them somewhere else. Because sleep is only something that reoccurs. Your repressed feelings that are going on in the daytime keep coming out when you're sleeping, by the way. So sleep interpretation is often helpful as well, because then you can look at the unresolved feelings that have been occurring during the daytime, during your life experiences.
Wow. And I don't know, there's a lot to take in with what you just said. And we were waiting for our guests to come in, and you know, the 50% chance they're going to be here for some reason. We haven't gotten her on yet, but I was wondering if we could just go
and another thing. Go ahead.
Well, just talk about the topic at hand, because I almost feel like the topic at hand that she was going to present was so intriguing. We were, ladies and gentlemen, an individual we were going to have on our program today was a 37-year-old virgin who had wanted to talk about why it's so beneficial to not have any form of sexual intimacy, and that you can have this fulfilling relationship without any kind of intimacy.
What is that, Ryan? Can you tell me why? You're going to ask me, I'm going to ask you, because I'll tell you something.
Sure.
The answer to that is very tricky. Because research has shown that actually, you know, a sexual relationship is a very natural relationship, and it's part of who we are. And longevity is also when you're releasing certain hormones, that's part of what you need to do. And when there's aggression in the relationship, well, sexual relationship helps to put things back into perspective. So there's so many reasons. And not that alone. When there's an attraction for someone, intimacy, true intimacy is so important to connect to that other person. It keeps you monogamous. It keeps you in a relationship where you're supportive and understanding about each other, because arguments will come. Problems will come no matter what. And this is a way to filter this through. But go ahead, Ryan. I did interrupt you.
No. I just wanted to hear a little more about it. Do you find that relationships can be destroyed if there isn't some kind of intimacy? I mean, can you have emotional intimacy? What's the comparable difference between how does physical intimacy fill the same void as emotional intimacy? What are the differences?
It doesn't. And emotional intimacy, as the relationships grow, are something that gives the relationship depth of feeling. And the initial reason why you were together is still there, but it doesn't take center stage. So this is something where you can feel what the other person wants and what the other person needs, and to support each other. Because after all, you know, when you begin a relationship, it's usually what's in it for me. But then when you drop that because you start caring about that person, then that's where the relationship really stays. You want to make sure that other person's happy and contented, and you take turns supporting each other. That's what a true relationship is, when there's loving and caring involved. And that's the best time, even more than the initial attraction or sexual attraction, because that's more superficial, and it does get you to be there. But then as time goes on, there's something else that takes over that's extremely much more meaningful.
And do you feel that people should wait until they've been dating for a while before becoming intimate?
You know,
is there anything that
this
time really changes?
Some very wise person said something to me maybe a day ago. And this is something that really stuck in my mind. And he said, you know, being in the media is like being on your first date. You don't give it all away. You let them want you more. Some very extremely wise person.
Old,
and,
yeah, some old
really
man
at
probably.
Point of brilliance. And I've quoted him. I've quoted him on my other show, and other people thought that he was also extremely wise. And so I will answer this that with that wisdom that I was given by somebody by the name of Ryan. What a coincidence.
Yep.
And, you know, that really pertains to this, because eventually what does happen in a relationship, you do need to have that chemistry. You do need to have something that is a buffer and something to look forward to and something that makes it more alive and interesting. Now, you can't have sex on the media, but you can, you know, have some kind of allure to you, as I was told. And this is applies, you know, and the question, I'm going in a whole different direction possibly, but there is an answer to this for everybody, that you don't just take away the chase. The chase is extremely important in your life. Pursuing is what happens when you're dating that keeps that momentum alive. And so that wise person by the name of Ryan was right.
Oh. Yeah, this part, I don't know. It's just intriguing. And just thank you. And I just don't know how this thing was going to work out. Like, do you think that if you wait too long to lose your virginity, and you're in your 40s or 50s, you may actually have something fundamentally wrong with you? Do you think that is it unnatural to not want to experience physical and sexual intimacy?
I would think that it's a forced situation, because biologically we are all predisposed to do similar things developmentally. And so when your hormones are raging at a certain age, young men, 19, they say women, when they're 45, is at their peak of this, you know, sexual identity. This is something that you can't push away. It's there. You feel it. It's nothing that is, you know.
Well, have you ever treated people or worked with people that have remained virgins until later in life?
I've treated people like that, but only because they didn't have a choice. It's different. Only because they were not empowered to have those opportunities. But those people were being treated, on the contrary, wanted that choice, and they did want to have that kind of experience. So that's something that they couldn't help, but their feelings were normal. Someone who does not want to have a sexual relationship is someone who's contriving those feelings. And I would love to know. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I think we're going to have our guest call in now. So just, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, we have how many? How much time do we have?
We have a few
about
minutes. Yeah, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Okay. Well,
I would have liked to ask her one question. Did you tell her that she doesn't have time?
Yeah.
I'd like to ask her one question only. Why did she decide to go in this direction? What happened to her? Did she have a bad experience with someone? Is there a fear factor involved here? What is her decision based on? That's the only question I would really like to know. But you already told her that we don't have enough time.
Yeah, and if you want, I mean, if you want to, if that's something you want to look into in the future, that'll be your decision alone.
Yeah.
As host and producer on this thing. But yeah, it would have been particularly intriguing.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to look
Dr.
up. I'll research that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm saying where can people learn more about you?
Well, they can learn about me right here on the radio. And
what's the website?
That's about it. Not much, really. I'm just somebody who has a website. You could see what's going on with me. But I'm not looking to... I'm trying to get a second edition of my book going because it's sold out. And
what's the best way they can learn more about you?
Well, they can learn about me, DOCTOR, Frieda, FRIEDA.com. I'm writing a book, Shattering a Mold, about different things, about age and about careers and relationships, defying the odds along the way and what's going on in our time right now. So it should be something that should be out soon. It's being edited right now, so that's something I'm really looking forward to. I'm also in the midst of speaking to a producer about some kind of show involving successful people, hoping that's going to go. But that's, that's something that we're all waiting to hear. I don't know what's going to happen with that. So I'm in the process of several different possibilities, but I am no longer... people can call me if they have questions. I just had somebody who's coming in, I don't know from where, from another state to see me, so I'm making room for that. But so I'll see people on that kind of premise, or they can call me if they have any questions. 201-934-9080.
And we can learn more about you by going to drfrieda.com, and we'll be back here next week, usual time. 4 p.m. Eastern Time with another exciting show.
Looking forward to it. And, there's so many topics to talk about that if a guest doesn't show up, there are things that are going on now with Hillary Clinton trying to come into office and what's going on with her foundation, with her emailing, what's going on with... young men who are still being killed, and how these young men, Freddie Gray, they are, at least now, people are coming to terms with convicting some of the officers who are to blame. There are many things to talk about that if a guest doesn't show, or maybe we should have a segment just on that, just discussing some bullet points of what's happening in our country in the news. So with that, I wish everyone a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and you, Ryan, as well. Have a great weekend.
You too.
I'm looking forward to speaking to you soon, and everyone else.
Got it. All right, everyone.
All
take
our
care.
Listeners, be well. Bye-bye.
Bye.